I have to say, I do a lot of interviews, and you always want to tell everybody they're remarkable, but I got to say, just reading about you, it's a remarkable career, and now it's coming here to the Valley. Christopher Gabitas, welcome.
Thank you so much. Very good to be here.
Let's start with a little bit about you. You're a singer, more famously with the King Singers, but you had a dual purpose there because you've had kind of a duality in your life. In fact, and it's not uncommon. At first blush, it sounds a little unusual, but there are many composers and musicians who've been lawyers over time.
That's true.
How did the law get into your life?
When I was at high school and thinking about my options for university, I was wondering about music and music college, and my singing teacher at the time said to me, "Oh, Chris, if you can do anything except music, please do it." And I can see your face, and I think I felt the same at the time. I thought, well, thanks very much. And thankfully, she went on to explain what she meant, which was that essentially music is a wonderful servant, but it can be a terrible master. If you're meant to be a musician, it will find you. Mm. It will grab at you, and opportunities will present themselves that you have to take until you can bear it no longer and you become a musician. But if there's anything else you can do first, do it. So I took her advice, and I applied to be a choral scholar at Cambridge, but to read law. And it was a fantastic duality, as you said, because it allowed me to perform with the chapel choir in college every day, but it allowed me to do a law degree. And so I had these two streams, these two tracks, which were running side by side. And I went across to Oxford and did some postgrad work and sang at Christchurch Cathedral while I was there, which was fantastic.
Oh, by the way, I went to
well, it's not the thing is the Oxford postgrad law course is interesting because it wasn't solely part of the University of Oxford. It was a separate institute of legal practice, and so it wasn't academically quite as hard to get into as the university proper. So I just want to put that out there. It's not quite as sickening as it might seem. and I loved being in both places. Obviously, it was incredible. I was very blessed to have that experience. But it also exposed me to a lot of different people and allowed me as a musician to grow hugely. And while I was in Oxford, I started doing even more conducting and directing alongside the singing. And I had some really formative performances with, amongst others, a wonderful American director called Dana T. Marsh, who's now up at IU in Bloomington, but also conducts the Washington Bach Choir. And he brought together a group of us to do some Baroque work, some Baroque music, and we sang Dixit Dominus by Handel and Nisi Dominus, and we sang some coronation anthems. And I think his approach was what first made me aware of the American choral tradition, which is not something we hear very much about. We hear about the English choral tradition. We're very proud of ourselves, and we pat each other on the back and feel that we're very superior. But we don't hear a lot about the American choral tradition. And it was really this guy, Dana, who opened my ears and my mind to a different way of approaching rehearsing and a different way of approaching the pedagogy and the performance of these wonderful works. So I know we've got off track a bit. We were talking about law and music, but
no. But now
we've
I'm fascinated because I'm one of those people who talks about the English choral tradition. And well, having grown up in a boys' choir, I know you sang in choirs at school when you were a boy.
Yeah.
There's the Vienna tradition, you know, versus the what we associated here with the David Wilcox sound in the boys' choir. But we don't give ourselves in this country. Well, Dvorak came here 20 years ago saying, you know, what are you ignoring your own music for? We're still doing it, right?
It's true.
But we don't have any credit for the history of the, well, in my mind, the Howard Swans, the Dale Warlands, and all that.
Yeah.
And I'd love to talk about that sometime, but I want to talk more about you.
Oddly enough, the two, as an adult, the two most groundbreaking musical experiences for me, I think, were standing in my first King Singers audition and standing in my first Phoenix Chorale rehearsal. And the reason for that is I felt completely at home in those scenarios. When I sang with the King Singers, it made sense to me. I never wanted to be a soloist. I never wanted to be somebody standing out front. It was far too nerve-wracking, and I didn't have the instrument for it. And I was very aware of that. In the same way that when I played piano, I was much happier accompanying than I was playing piano solo. I think the sensitivity and the musicianship required when you perform within a team just suited me better. It's what I wanted to do. And we sang, my first piece I ever sang with the King Singers was As Vesta Was Descending by Thomas Wilkes, a wonderful, magical, from The Triumphs of Oriana. It's an incredible piece. And I got to the end and I wanted just to jump around the room like a maniac. It just felt so incredible to be in this body of sound with five other singers. And they were matching and they were blending and the balance was there and the nuance was being passed from singer to singer just so organically and so naturally. And I wanted it. It was like a drug. I thought, I have to do this. This is just the most amazing musical experience. And this happened again 15 years later when I was standing in front of the Phoenix Chorale and my first rehearsal with them, seeing these people who are friends and watching them in their breaks come over and, you know, hug each other, have conversations. How are you? How's XYZ? How's ABC in your life? I know that your child's been sick. I know that you're having troubles at work. I know that you've got a new romance in your life, whatever it might be. And listening to them and watching them and seeing how they came together, these supposedly disparate people united in this passion and this admiration for the art and this love of what they were doing and sacrificing their time, it triggered a memory, a long lost memory in my mind of how we felt when I was a boy chorister and I was singing in this cathedral choir, this ancient cathedral choir, and why we did it. And it feels like I've come full circle almost. And, you know, after 30 years of doing other things, I'm almost back where I belong.
Your coming to the States also involves a new position at Redlands.
Yes.
And when I was reading about is there a title for the seat you're occupying in Redlands?
It's an artist professor position, which is a little used title, but I'm not the first person to have it. Indeed, there are one or two other artist professors at Redlands. And the reason for that is it's outside the traditional faculty tenure track. And what we did was we put together a degree. We think it's unique. I don't think it will remain unique for much longer, but we think it's unique. This idea of commercial music making as well as consort music. So we're going to take on just 8 students a year and teach them one to a part singing, teach them large ensemble singing, really hone their skills that they will have developed through their bachelor programs at other universities, and act as a bridge between that fine arts bachelor education and becoming a professional chorister in chorales and ensembles across the US and beyond, but also teach them the entrepreneurial side of music, how to appoint a board, how to set up a 501c3, where to fundraise, how to come up with a name for your ensemble, how to program, how to record. There's an engineering element and a production element to the course as well. So we're trying to produce 360 degree qualified musicians with the confidence to go out there and not be taken advantage of in the dog eat dog world of commercial music.
But it's also exciting for us to hear through the lens of somebody who moves to this country. You'll be moving here full time now.
Yep.
Right.
We will.
And part of what I'm hearing is there's just not a lot of gigs for guys like you in the United States. Phoenix Chorale is a pretty special position.
It's true, and I don't know whether this is true, but I believe I may be certainly one of the first British people to be appointed to a position like this in the States, which is a huge honour for me. I mean, I know there were something like 50 people who originally applied, and the four of us who were shortlisted, I felt very much like the sort of maverick outsider, if I'm honest, because the other three candidates are so hugely qualified and such wonderful musicians. And it is very, very hard to get these positions. And for everything else I've done in life, this is my future and this is where I want to be. And this is what I'm incredibly proud of.
Well, it's infectious, this enthusiasm you have. Christopher Gabitas, I look forward to more conversations in the future.
Absolutely.
Great to meet you.
Thank you. Likewise, it's a real pleasure.